Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington, Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong and about our hope being not in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And as Ephesians 2, 5 through 6 says, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Today I want to talk about something that is happening in America right now. The stakes for this upcoming election could not be higher, and I don't want to overstate it, but when Donald Trump met with a group of pastors here about a month ago and said to them, this election is a referendum on your religion, boy, did he mean it. The attacks this year have been greater than I have ever seen them. And specifically what I am being attacked on now are sermon notes on a series of sermons, actually, on Old Testament warfare, but talking about the history of warfare and, in general, how now, as Christians, we operate under just war theory. And let me explain what that is very quickly if you've never heard before of just war theory. First of all defensive wars are just. Okay, that's important to know up front. All defensive wars are just. All offensive wars should fall under just war theory. Two main criteria: the right to go to war, or a just cause, and then the right conduct while in war. Some people add a third criteria that there should be right conduct after war, but if you're operating with right conduct in war and after war, in the Latin, jus in bello. There are seven criteria on the right to go to war. First of all, there needs to be a just cause. That means that there needs to be an imminent threat to life. This is not out of vengeance. Needs to be comparative justice. In other words, injustice suffered by one party must outweigh injustice suffered by another. Needs to be legitimate authority. Only duly constituted authorities can wage war. And that's why I have been so outspoken about just war theory, in particular about this part, that Congress needs to declare war according to our Constitution. The fourth is right intention. Force may only be used for a just cause and solely for that purpose. Five, probability of success. It can't be a suicide mission. Six, it needs to be the last resort. In other words, force may only be used after all peaceful and viable alternatives have been seriously tried and exhausted or are clearly not practical. And then seven, there needs to be proportionality. The anticipated benefits, this is called macro proportionality, and I'll get to the difference here in a second. The anticipated benefits of waging war must be proportionate to its expected evils or harms. So in other words, you don't go to war for light and transient causes, as Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence. Then there needs to be right conduct in war, and there's really three parts of that. First, distinction. All acts of war should be directed toward enemy combatants. So in other words, you're not targeting civilian populations. Okay. Second, there should be proportionality. Use of force should be proportional, weighing whether the incidental civilian injuries would be clearly excessive in relation to military advantage. And three, military necessity, that the action must be intended to help defeat the military of the enemy. Okay. Now, I want to back up. Okay, that's just war. And what happened was the media and a group of militant atheists up in Northeast Washington tried to make quotes from the Old Testament outline, like notes on Old Testament warfare. Okay. And then tried to turn that and say, you Christians are advocating for killing all the males in a village, et cetera, and all the other hype that they try to do. Okay, now we've easily dispensed with that. But here's the important point for everybody listening today. They are using scripture and notes on it to twist Christians and demonize Christians and persecute Christians. And it's not just me. I've been talking about this counterstate threat, Marxists and the Islamic counterstates, Kate. These counterstates operating in the United States are operating under a Maoist insurgency model. And part of that model is political warfare, and part of it is violence. And it's interesting to me that some of these things appear extremely well coordinated. So in other words, they sent a reporter out here a couple of months ago to a rally in anticipation of releasing a hit piece in the Rolling Stones. 8,000 words, folks. Just happens to be a week before the election. At the same time, this supposed secret document, and it wasn't secret, these were sermon notes, gets leaked. Then the media begins to spin that up again a week before the election. Now, it's interesting, too, that several people tried to say that this was white nationalism. These quotes from the scripture. And so I went and I talked to a few people who lived in the former Soviet Union, and I kind of asked them about the tactics that were used in the former Soviet Union. And also, by the way, these tactics used by Mao. And one of the people who listened to this was absolutely disturbed because it sounded exactly like Soviet propaganda against Christians in the former Soviet Union. It sounded like the twisting of scripture to demonize Christians, that they're actually cannibals because they eat the body of Christ, and these other just absurd things that Soviet propaganda and Maoist propaganda used against Christians. Okay, what we're seeing now, this attempt to demonize Christians, is coming from a group here that is loosely associated. So I want to paint the picture for you. First of all, you have a particular individual who is associated with the Peace Justice Action League of Spokane. Now, I have talked about them on the show before. Peace Justice Action League of Spokane brought in Judith LeBlanc as their keynote speaker 2015. She's a leader in the Communist Party USA. Lisa Brown was a keynote speaker in 2017. I'm going to get to her in a second. You had the Council of American Islamic Relations, okay, which, as a matter of fact, in law, was found to be an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terror financing trial successfully prosecuted in the United States. Sean Vestal of the Socialist Review was listed not just as a donor on the 2016 site, but also as a speaker. He shared the stage with CARE. And we've got the screenshots of their agenda and their schedule. So I really began to look at that group, and then also a group up in Stevens County. Now, some of them may not be Antifa, but they're certainly acting like Antifa, and they are associated with people, for example, that are directly posting from the Democrat Socialists of America, one of whom is an admitted federal informant. And these names are listed like right in order on some of these groups that these guys have. Okay. One of them also said America is not a Christian nation. And unfortunately, this is, and it's a little bit shocking, but is is working with what was supposed to be ostensibly a Christian organization. Now, on a video I put up on Facebook, I've already called for the denunciation of this anti-Christian rhetoric coming from this individual. And you can see that. And also, the idea that we're not a Christian nation, I mean, I've proved that before, but I can prove it again very, very briefly. The first governing document that was an Article of Confederation, okay, these Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies, 1643, very clearly said that all of the colonists that had come at that time that were joining into this confederation, joined together with one and the same aim, and that was to spread the kingdom of Jesus Christ and enjoy the gospel in purity and peace. You can go look it up yourself. Very clear. But then, interestingly enough, 1765 to 1769, Sir William Blackstone wrote his Commentaries on the Laws of England. And in that work, which is the seminal legal work, okay, for English common law, he very clearly stated that there was the law of nature, which was God's will, his truth written into nature, and the law of nature's God, which was Holy Scripture. So that's why Thomas Jefferson put in the Declaration of Independence the law of nature and nature's God, because Blackstone wrote this 1765 to 1769. 1776 is when we wrote, when Thomas Jefferson wrote, the Declaration of Independence. Okay. Now, Marx started writing in the 1840s and 50s in earnest, and questions were being brought up. 1853, 1854, the 33rd Congress actually took this up as an issue. As a matter of investigation, the Judiciary Committee in the House and Senate took this up as an issue, and the short story is they found that America is a Christian nation. And they actually went a step further and said if the founders had known there would be a war against Christianity, they would have strangled the revolution in the cradle. You can read it. It's Representative Meacham's and Senator Badger's reports. Then, in 1892, the United States Supreme Court took up this question. And in Holy Trinity versus U.S., ruled as a matter of fact and law that the United States is a Christian nation. So these people that say this stuff not only lose credibility historically, but they lose credibility overall, because when they're trying to attack people and they don't even have that right, or they're attacking because of that, we know that we are being, the beginnings of persecution are occurring in this country. And unfortunately, people who are running Christian organizations are keeping these people around or associating with them, which I want to be really clear about this, and we have to be clean. In the former Soviet Union, it was Christian churches, both the Orthodox and the Protestant churches. In fact, there was a split in 1963. Between what essentially was the confessing church and what then became the state church, largely infiltrated by the KGB. So we are seeing something similar happening today, where you have Christians who are working with people who are seeking to persecute other Christians. And there is going to be a dividing line. People are going to have to make a decision. And I wanted to talk about this today because this is not something to be afraid of. God has very clearly laid out that Christians would suffer for his name, and we should be joyous that it's happening. But all of the facts are pointing toward this group of people that is loosely associated acting like Antifa. I mean, they're acting according to Maoist insurgency doctrine, whether they are wittingly or unwittingly doing it. And so we need to pray for those folks. Obviously, we bless all of them in Jesus' name, the ones we know and we don't know. But we need to be wise about what is happening around us. And that is why this election is so important, because if Trump gets another 2 years, we have religious freedom on the table. In fact, it was International Religious Freedom Day last Friday when all this stuff started coming out, right? You know, in the same time frame. It's Religious Freedom Day. And certainly, some of these folks should believe that we should respect religious liberty. But Trump wants to make sure that it happens. And right now, the Marxist counterstate is working overtime. And all the people are now self-identifying which side they're on. They're self-identifying with the Marxist counterstate, or they're self-identifying with the confessing church. And so the question I leave all of you today is, what side are you on? And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Venezuela, wow, still descending. And 40% of business closed. Actually might be over that now. Interestingly, coming out of Brazil and how the media, this is happening all over the world, by the way. Nationalism is back on the rise all over the world because people have figured out what's going on. They understand the counterstate threat. They understand the globalist threat. Okay, and Brazil, and this is so interesting, they try to paint the, it's the same everywhere, folks. All the stuff you're seeing happening against Trump is happening at the local level, but it's also happening worldwide. Okay, here's the Washington Post. This is what they say. Brazilian presidential election goes to a second round. Okay. But then it says this, a far right military man. Okay, the guy used to be in the military. Won nearly half the votes in Brazil's presidential election on Sunday. So his name is Jair Bolsonaro. And he's being compared to President Trump. But did you see how they demonized him? Far-right former military man, okay? What are they trying to paint him as? They're trying to paint him as fascist, okay? Even though fascism is an economic system that revolves around centralized state control over an economy that was invented by Benito Mussolini, and Hitler went down there, saw what Mussolini was doing, and thought it was so wonderful that he copied some of it in the National Socialist Germany. Again, centralized control, and you can see a great layout of that in Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, Death of a Nation. Very interesting. Also on the international front, China, hardware infiltration that has been called out now, and a lot of people have missed this. But China, a Chinese company was caught putting hardware spying infiltration on computer boards. In other words, it wasn't software, it wasn't firmware, it was hardware. Another person was caught on charges of economic espionage. So there's a lot happening behind the scenes right now that's kind of building and culminating. All right, also on the international front, want to go into very briefly what's going on in the Middle East. Okay, first of all, let's go to Debka file here. Massive Gaza missile volley greets the new IDF chief. Then the Israeli Air Force turns around and strikes 87 Hamas targets. I saw some of the video of this. So Gaza is beginning to foment again. And a lot of the reason why, I believe, is this new alignment that's occurring. So I talked to you all about Iran, Turkey, Qatar as one axis, and now Jordan has made it formal a policy to move toward Turkey, okay? It's interesting. on top of that, the United States is drawing closer to Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Bahrain. It's also interesting to note that now the Palestinians are starting to get restless again. So I would expect something is fomenting over the winter and then into the spring of next year. That's the way it's shaping up. You know, Erdogan's speech to parliament, where he tried to cast himself as kind of the leader of Sunni Muslims. And again, you have Saudi Arabia and Turkey now vying for control. And all in the middle of that is that Khashoggi affair. He was a Muslim brother associated with Osama bin Laden. So it adds a lot more to what's actually happening. All right. Let's move next to the National Front. A very good security paper came out from the Center for Security Policy on the EMP threat. And if you have not, I mean, there's some people that poo-poo this, but I mean, this is in black and white. You can't ignore it. It's in black and white. And I don't know how else to say it. So I'm just going to go through some of the things that are in here that should raise this up as a threat issue for all of us. First of all, in published threat doctrine in North Korea, but also in China and in Russia and in Iran, they have made it clear that their threat doctrine, their plans can include asymmetrical attacks against the United States and U.S. military bases around the world. So this paper is titled Pearl Harbor 2.0, and it talks about the Russians specifically and their plan to launch Russian caliber cruise missiles from submarines, freighter ships, and Trojan Horse Club K container missile systems. So these are the things that look like an intermodal container that have a missile system in it that can launch one of these cruise missiles, okay? They can be moved and smuggled through U.S. ports into the U.S. interior, board trains and semi-trucks. I mean, this is interesting. Well, in 2015, the Russian Journal, essentially their National Defense Journal, outlined a plan to, quote, hit them in their ports, end quote, with caliber missiles that could sink the entire U.S. Navy fleet docked in port across the United States, Europe, and the Middle East. And it's also, they also talk about how these things have been installed with the Chinese. So, folks, this isn't like it's just like, oh, it's just sitting out there and it's just being made up. Foreign countries, and I'm going to post this on Patriot Radio. It's a phenomenal read. Foreign countries are actually saying this is what they want to do. Okay, so the EMP threat to the United States is very, very clear. All right, also on the national front, Claire McCaskill essentially trying to hide the fact she's anti-gun, but this is happening all over the country with Democrats not really telling people what they believe, so they get elected and then they actually just do the opposite, okay? Also on the national front, troops are headed now down to the border to meet the caravan. Again, interestingly coordinated to end up near our border, right near the election. Interesting that the bombs happened right a week before the election, and the bombs were intentionally made so they would not go off. Interesting, too, that now Democrats are trying to say any disparaging remarks against George Soros are anti-Semitic right before the election. And despite the fact that George Soros now, according to several outlets, appears to be funding the groups that are behind the caravan, or at least some of them. And then on top of all of that, you have people still denying that this is coordinated. I mean, some of it might not be directly coordinated. Some of it might be just, internally coordinated, or people just take it and see what's happening and then they do their own thing, as part of a, because they think it will be helpful or part of a coordination of things, with this caravan coming up. But it's all happening right before the election. And I think Americans are saying, enough. We see through all this garbage. Enough. And then talking about, I talked about this Antifa violence going on, in some of the Democrat rhetoric, guillotines for Republicans, and then this Molotov cocktail attack on churches or a church, over in Seattle. Then these Minnesota candidates who were assaulted right after the guillotine comment. Well, now there is an actor, James Cromwell, who, quote, warns of blood in the streets if the Democrats don't win, end quote. So I think what's happening is they're getting desperate because they know they're going to lose coming up this next week. There's going to be a red wave. And turnout is suggesting that. And I'm telling you, folks, get your friends and neighbors out to vote. Turn this country around. But look at all of this. I mean, if this was anybody over here, you would have been just, I mean, this isn't sermon notes. This is some guy saying this, right? Any conservative would have been vilified. Unreal. Also on the national front, and this is an interesting story about some folks that cut trees down, their own trees, for their own Christmas tree farm, and they got fined $450,000 from a local township. That is socialism. That is fascist economic regulations. These are very important terms, legal terms. They're not just to be thrown around. These are terms of art to describe both a legal system, but more importantly, an economic system. $450,000 from a local township. Boy, it's just unbelievable, actually. All right. Also on the national front. Actually, this is on the regional front. Excuse me. Trump calls for red tape to be cut on the Columbia Basin and other Western projects. So he took out a big hurdle to some of these water projects in the West. And for those of you that don't know the Columbia Basin project, you're talking about over 500,000 acres would be able to be irrigated if we finish the project that has been languishing for decades. And Trump's moving forward. I think they're going to start moving into some of these infrastructure projects. This is huge for Southeast Washington. Huge. And if you haven't heard about that, it's coming to us from the Washington Ag Network. You can read about it. Awesome news. Also on the regional front, the FBI has agents that are now under investigation for lack of candor in the Mulhere case. This is the case where the leaders were acquitted by a jury of their peers. Joseph Astorita, this is the guy that was put on trial for allegedly removing evidence. He himself was acquitted. But now he and several colleagues are under investigation for a lack of candor in their statements after the shooting of the refuge leader, Lavoy Finicum. And this is coming to us from Oregon Live. Wow. All right. Last but not least, I want to talk real quick about some upcoming events. This Saturday, November 3rd, you're going to want to get there about 10 o'clock, Doubletree Hotel in downtown Spokane. Dr. Jonathan Hansen is going to be there with Steve Pigeon and many others. And we're going to be talking about what's going on in the world and do it from a Christian perspective. On November 8th, on the internet, at the Center for Free Speech, 4 p.m., they're going to be doing a briefing as well, and you want to take a look at that. If you haven't heard of the Center for Free Speech, you could type it into your browser, and you can run with it. And I'm sure you're going to appreciate what they have to say. They're really kind of taking the lead on the censorship thing that's happening all over the country. All right. I want to thank everybody. That's the briefing. I want to thank everybody for all the prayers and support of the last few days. It's been awesome. Been very encouraging to Victoria and me. Very. So remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American, and that when you're attacked that viciously, you must be over the target. So if you get a chance, you can visit me at VoteShay.com. You can also go to Patriot Radio on iTunes and Podbean and download it. And I'm just excited that I have my guest today, Pastor Jonathan Hansen, World Ministries International. Great friend, somebody that has made a huge impact around the world. Dr. Hansen, thanks for joining me today on Patriot Radio.
Well, thank you, Matt.
So how are you doing? What's going on in the world? And you know, what should Christians really be paying attention to?
Well, I just actually returned from Hong Kong, Malaysia, and Korea. I was holding meetings for leaders in Hong Kong and Malaysia, apostolic leaders. We had hundreds of them, and several hundred was coming in from mainland China. All over the world, you know, like the Book of Revelation says, persecution is increasing. Actually, Hong Kong is even concerned that China, which has constantly been flooding every month, shipping in by planes daily, mainline Chinese into Hong Kong to transform that nation and take away their liberties they once had. But And I just came back from Korea. I was meeting with people in Korea, leaders in Korea, and you know, their new president over there is actually a socialist. And so I remember when the wall came down, and I remember when they did the nuclear disarmament, Reagan and Gorbachev. I actually went on radio and television and put it on the website and everything else that we did not win the Cold War. This was deception, and that Gorbachev was playing a con game, a scam. And what they wanted to do was get as much money from the West and Europe as they could, and then rebuild their arsenal. And once again, would threaten with war and nuclear weapons. And they're doing that right now. Russia is increasingly getting worse and worse, and constantly threatening a nuclear war right now with America. But that goes into Bible prophecy, the kings of the north, south, east, and west, and Russia is part of the kings of the east. But also, let's get back to Korea. I love Donald Trump. I mean, I voted for him, obviously, because he stood for freedom. And if the other person had got in, you and I, Christians, would really be more under attack than we are now, because you see a sheer hatred against conservatives and Republicans, sheer hatred from the liberal left, because they, you know, Marxism is just in full-blown practice among them now, socialism, communism, Marxism, taught from the public schools and universities. And if Clinton had got in, America would no longer be free the way we have it now. She would have continued to destroy the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and move us right into the New World Order. But I did state publicly over there, and I believe I'm correct. I believe our president is being deceived. I believe that the president of South Korea is working with the president of North Korea, and North Korea, actually, South Korea is not going to just absorb North Korea, but North Korea will end up ruling South Korea if it continues the way it is. This is a scam, and we're going to see a lot of trouble on the horizon in the Korea zone, in that theater, because we're seeing a deception upon the world today. Just so they can have a reprieve, so they can have money, just like Russia did. But they haven't changed their spots. That spirit is still there. And we're in trouble. We're in trouble, Matt.
It really is clear to me that persecution even here in the United States is ramping up. And I know Donald Trump is cognizant of what's happening here. I still hear a lot of Christians, even pastors, who will say, you know, we shouldn't have politics come in the door of that church. And, you know, they end up having parishioners that are living Christianity on Sunday, but maybe not the rest of the week. How are you addressing this as you're talking to people all over the world, but also in the United States?
Well, the Great Commission is first and foremost a mandate for you and I to be an ambassador of the kingdom of God, the government of God. Let's just take a moment. Just give me a couple minutes here. In heaven, you see, the government of God rules and there is peace. Now, on earth, Satan rules through evil men, and Christians are at war. So God is at war with Satan. The angels are at war with demons. We're at spiritual war with evil men led by evil spirits, not the Holy Spirit. Now, Psalm 72:19 tells us that the purpose of God through his church is to reveal his glory over all the earth. Now, in Genesis 1, 26 and 28, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Luke 19, 13, and Matthew 5, 13, God tells Christians to take dominion, subdue, be salt, occupy, and make disciples of the inhabitants of the earth. So if we're going to see freedom in America or any other nation, Christians must understand that we are at war with Satan. When Jesus ascended, he gave you and I the Great Commission, go and make disciples. So if we make disciples, if righteous men lead, the nation prospers. If evil men lead, the righteous are persecuted. There is no simpler way to define it that if we are obeying the commission of Jesus Christ, definitely we're involved in politics. We're supposed to be making disciples. We're supposed to be bringing a nation under a sheep nation. So when the Great Tribulation does arise and persecution is all through the world, the Bible and the Book of Revelation, some nations will fight this one world government and this Antichrist. 2 billion people will die as the plagues of God comes upon the world. But those same plagues, you know, the 10 plagues that came against Egypt, that superpower, they did not touch the people of God if they obeyed the word of God through Moses in Goshen. We don't have to be worried about the plagues of God. We do have to be worried about the wrath of man, evil men persecuting you and I. And all over the world, not only is there going to be the greatest revival in the Book of Revelation, there's the greatest persecution. And so, you know, they call it the Great Tribulation. So we need to be doing what we can to bring every nation under a sheep nation that's under God, and be one of those nations that resist this new world order, this one world government. And that's what we should be doing as Christians. And so if we, you know, all over the world, I try to unite the church, not to be tribalistic, not to be racist, but to be kingdom-oriented, and try to put in the best man or woman that represents the values of God, described in the Word of God, the Bible. And if we can bring all over the world, I try to, again, bring transformation to a nation. You know, I believe that the church has four responsibilities: restoration of the church, reconciliation, revival, and reformation. So we're supposed to restore the church to the mission and method of the way Jesus and the apostles ministered. We're supposed to be bringing reconciliation between ethnic leaders and churches. We're supposed to revive the church to expand the kingdom influence. And we're supposed to bring reformation of society and the discipling of nations. So we have a mandate in the Great Commission to bring reconciliation and reformation in society. And the reason why we're in so much trouble today is because the church got out of this battle. One of the methods that Satan used was Lyndon B. Johnson, the 501c3, which conned the church, and actually the church can still be very much involved. You don't need a 501c anyway to have deductions with the IRS. But a lot of pastors are totally naive, and that gets back to a lack of knowledge, people perish. So a lack of knowledge, we don't exercise our rights to fulfill the Great Commission and make disciples or exercise our leadership to put in godly leaders. We used to do that before Lyndon B. Johnson created this 501c3. But our mandate is clear, whether it's a 501c3 or not. We're under the laws of God, the kingdom of God, and we should be making disciples everywhere we go.
Well, let's talk about that. That's why you are coming here to Spokane this Saturday.
Yes.
I want folks to understand this is one of the big things that they should be at. This is one of the conferences that they should take time on a weekend and attend, because we are going to be not only informing them, but also giving solutions.
Oh, totally. Totally. And it's going to be November the 3rd, this very Saturday, as you said, prophetic conference. Doubletree by Hilton, Spokane City Center, 322 North Spokane Falls, Spokane, Washington. Registration at the doors, 10 a.m. That's when doors will open. The meeting will go from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Now, I would urge them to pre-register so we know how many chairs to put up. If they pre-register, they save $5 a person. They can telephone 360-629-5248, 360-629-5248, and pre-register. Now, you're going to be there speaking with me, Attorney Stephen Pigeon. He ran for Attorney General in 2012. He'll either be with me. I had him on my radio program yesterday, or I'll have a clip with him speaking. But we're going to be talking about, Matt, you've got your subject. We're also going to talk about prophecies for America, the science of judgment. We're going to talk about the collapse of Britain. We're going to talk about Islam, Muhammad, and what even President Thomas Jefferson stated about Muhammad and Islam. We're going to talk about President Abraham Lincoln, how he calls America to repent. He names the enemies of the United States, which are still with us in government today. And we're going to talk about the planned overthrow, the revolution taking place in the United States of America. Then I'm going to share a message on war and victory, a time of war, a time of victory, champion faith, and I'm going to pray for people for healing and deliverance. So it's going to be a great prophetic conference.
I have met a lot of people that don't understand the idea of the two counterstates, the Marxists and the Islamic counterstates. They don't understand the globalists. They, you know, much less understand, you know, where does the United States fit in prophecy in the end times? And just even aside from that, what should we be doing every day as Christians? How would you talk to Christians to motivate them to get off the couch, get out to learn about this stuff so they can tell their friends and neighbors about it as well?
Well, yeah, if you know, a lack of knowledge, people perish. Now, Christians, many of them finally got concerned. They realized the situation in the last election, and we came so close to literally losing our freedoms, and it would have been totally a lost. Because if Clinton came in, you'd have had two more Supreme Court justices, very liberal justices that would have constantly ruled against conservative values, in other words, biblical values, morality. Even though Donald Trump became president, you know, Donald Trump is like Cyrus. You get into Isaiah, you know, 45, Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States. Cyrus gave a proclamation. Donald Trump has given a proclamation to make America great again. Cyrus did not do it in his regime. It took 22.7 years or four regimes before his proclamation came to pass. The church, has got to get involved in leading a revival to overturn the laws that bring judgment on a nation. Four sins bring judgment on a nation: idolatry, immorality, killing the innocent, and dividing the land of Israel. And so we need to be very much, the church has to wake up and get involved in overturning laws that bring judgment on this nation. Donald Trump is a great Cyrus, but he is not our Savior. We have one Savior, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, uses you and I to transform a nation. No matter how much people pray, and we're trying to get 2,000 intercessors in every nation on earth, we're trying to get 200,000 people in every nation reading my news articles. Why? Because the book of Psalms, again, tells us the purpose of God through his church is to reveal his glory over all the earth. So I'm not only speaking in nations, But we're also on radio and television 7 days a week. We're using the mass media to try to transform nations. Again, the battles of the mind. The liberal left is using the airwaves to brainwash American on alternate lifestyles, on new world order, on world citizenship, fake news. We need to use the news waves, and one of the ways we can do this in this conference, truth takes away deception, prayer brings conviction. So we must speak the truth and change the mindset, because the battle is in the mind, so we can bring transformation in a nation, so we can alert the church to wake up and become spiritually activated again, like the first century church. They got activated through persecution. Now we hope, Matt, that that doesn't have to come to that extent, but I'm telling you it will if the church doesn't wake up. The liberal left just hates us with a demonic hatred, and the church better wake up. If we lose power again, I don't know if we'll ever get it back.
Well, there is a lot of listeners out there that don't realize you travel all over the world, and you have met with a lot of leaders, church leaders, government leaders all over the world. How do these people around the world see America, and how do they see America, I think, truly being a leader, if we want to be a leader again, and that starting in the church?
Well, you're absolutely right. Around the world, I do meet. I go on about 10 to 12 international trips a year. Like I said, this year I've been to Africa 4 times. I've been to Israel with their parliament, you know, the Knesset, with the World Jewish Congress. I've been to Hong Kong, Malaysia, Korea. I'm going to Africa again. Constantly moving into different countries around the world, but also another 12 interstate trips where I'm constantly meeting with church leaders as well as political leaders. But around the world, especially, you know, if we want to go back to Obama, church leadership was quite depressed, and governments were, frankly. I meet a lot with African leaders, and African leaders were very discouraged with even though, you know, the liberal left might have portrayed a different story, but they were fighting with Obama because Obama was trying to take away their aid if they did not adopt abortion and homosexuality into their constitution. He was threatening these leaders, these presidents, to take away their aid. And so I had headlines after headlines that I reported on television what the African leaders told them. In fact, some of them told them that we're Christian, we can't do that. And so, I mean, it was shocking, and they were so shocked that America was supposed to be a Christian nation. Obviously, Obama was no Christian. He backed everything Islamic and immoral, but these leaders around the world were very discouraged. Now I can tell you the leaders around the world are very encouraged. If they're wanting capitalism, if they're wanting freedom, they're encouraged. And other leaders are falling in line, even though the fake news is saying otherwise. They are falling in line and backing Trump. And so the church is coming back alive again around the world, because once again, America leads. And if America leads towards socialism and communism, which it was doing under Obama, or Islam, then it's obviously it's very depressing for the church. It's very depressing for other nations that want to be free, that want Christianity or capitalism. And there's a great revival all through the continent of Africa, a great revival going on. So the last 8 years under Obama was really a disgrace. I was so embarrassed, but I just shared with him very plainly that he is no Christian, and they understood it. They understood they would say, yeah, you're right, he's a Muslim. So I mean, there was no mistake. They understood who he really was.
Today, there are some folks listening like, you know, I don't want to come down to the conference. You know, it's a Saturday, and, you know, I've got other things I need to do. But really, there's not going to be revival in the Christian church unless we are setting the conditions for revival to occur, and unless we are building the wineskin that's going to be able to hold the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, and I would like to, if you could, take the next couple of minutes and just really speak into that.
Well, you're absolutely right. Again, when Jesus ascended, he said, go make disciples, but he said, first, go tarry. Tarry for what? Well, tarry for his power to represent him in his name, the Holy Spirit. We need to have that personal relationship with the Lord. We need to operate through the Spirit of God, because where we are weak, he is strong. And if we don't have that motivation, that inspiration, then we don't have the courage or the power to represent him. Philippians 3:8-10, Paul said that I might know him. What's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus being the center of his life. He said that I might know him personally and that I might know him deeply. So Paul is saying that I might know him. He's talking about that dunamis, or that released energy, dunamis, the Greek word, that released energy the Holy Spirit gives so you and I have the courage to represent him on earth. And not only the courage to speak where we are fearful, but then we get into areas of praying for people, laying hands on the sick. I've seen all sorts of miracles, and we're going to pray at the end of this conference. I mean, it's going to be a conference like few people have seen. It's not just going to be a prophetic conference passing out knowledge, although that's going to be the majority of it. But at the end, I'm going to have a message, and we're going to pray for people. And I've seen every type of healing around the world, from blind eyes, MS, everything you can think of. But we serve that type of living God, and we must represent him. The church, you know, Jesus said, well, I find faith. The church is actually in a situation on earth right now where the gospel is so distorted and polluted. Nothing's wrong with the Word of God if it's taught and spoke properly. It's still sharper than a two-edged sword. It still can change a man's life. It still can bring salvation and repentance. But when you twist the Word of God, let me tell you a story. We could get into angels, if we wanted to. People see angels all around the world. They see especially a giant angel behind me at times. Now, not in every meeting, but consistently. And I remember over 30 years ago, two angels walked into my service. It was a very large service in America, and it cleared the back, and other people had seen them, and it changed the whole atmosphere of the service. People were prostrate under the power of God for 6 hours, but they were writing down everything I was saying. And when it was over that night, I said, Lord, why did you send your angels? And he said, they're always there. And I said, well, what were they writing? And he said that they were writing what the person behind the pulpit is saying. And on Judgment Day, my two holy witnesses will either vindicate or condemn that person behind the pulpit with his own words. Because the Bible says, don't add or subtract, lest you be damned. And people have lost the fear of God. Many pastors have lost the fear of God. When you are behind that pulpit, when you represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, don't add or subtract, don't manipulate it, don't use it for personal gain. It's a holy thing, and you are standing in a place that you better be careful and have proper respect for God and His Word, because you're going to be judged.
I want to give you the final 2 minutes. Just also, you know, I know that it takes a lot of money and prayers to support your ministry around the world. Where can people go to get more information about WMI and also to help you out, support you in prayer, support you monetarily, maybe even volunteer for something? Where can they go to learn more about that?
We would love that. We certainly need it. www.worldministries.org is my website. That's www.worldministries.org. My Facebook, World Ministries International with Dr. Jonathan Hansen. My phone number, 360-629-5248. 360-629-5248. In fact, I hope they come to this conference. I'll tell you, Matt, they're going to be shocked with the information. This is information we're going to be giving. Information what President Thomas Jefferson said, information what President Abraham Lincoln said. We're going to be exposing things. I guarantee you they're going to be shocked. Their mouth is going to be wide open because they haven't heard these things. We're not being taught our history any longer in America. We're being taught a progressive form of knowledge to try to transform Americans into world citizenship. And so they're going to be shocked what our history actually is and what President Abraham said and called America to repent in the Civil War and who he blamed for the Civil War. I guarantee you they're going to be shocked. And that major religion is in America today. But I'll tell you, the church needs to wake up. It needs to rise up. And nobody can touch you unless God allows it. Persecution is coming to America like we have never seen unless the church rises up, exercises its authority, makes disciples. We need to actively put in people, righteous men and women, in Washington government and in the federal government. We need to do what we can to bring this nation under God, under a sheep nation, so it can be the greatest nation on earth once again. And then let God protect us and use us to reach the world for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Pastor Jonathan Hansen, World Ministries International, thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and God bless you in your travels.
Well, God richly bless you, Matt, and continue to do a good work to keep us free.
Amen.
Okay, I'll
Pastor
see you Saturday.
Jonathan Hansen. Yep, we'll see you Saturday. Pastor Jonathan Hansen, World Ministries International. You can find it online very, very quickly. But if you want to come, it's going to be again at 10 o'clock this Saturday at the Doubletree downtown. Everybody knows, I think, at least I hope everybody knows where that is. And I also want to mention, too, if you have not heard Dr. Hansen, you can find him, too, on ACN. He actually has a program on ACN. 11:45 KTW. I think it's on Saturdays. Right now, my little note thing just blitzed out on me. But the bottom line is you can find him on ACN. And if you have the opportunity this Saturday, come down there at 10 o'clock. You are going to learn. If you've never heard the counterstate presentation, I'm going to be giving that. I'm going to be laying out everything. I know that Steve Pidgeon is going to as well. And then we're also going to be talking about where Christians fit in all of this. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. This is Matt Shea. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.